Realized that on a day in early February, her life would be forever changed. Lori is a former member of the Church of Scientology, as are her children. But when she made the decision to leave the church, her children made the decision to stay with the church, and thus began the beginning of the seeming ending of her relationship with her children. Hello, everyone. I'm Pamela Brewer, welcoming you to this edition of Mind Talk. I'd like for you to join me in welcoming today's guest, Lori Hodgson, who is author of A Mother's Heartbreak, How Scientology Destroyed My Family. Lori, welcome to Mind Talk.
Thank you, Dr. Brewer. I'm grateful that you're having me back on your show.
Now, Lori, when you were first with Mind Talk, I asked you to go through your early life to give us a sense of who Lori was prior to entering into the Church of Scientology. And I note, which we'll get to in a moment, that you kind of put the word church in quotes when you connected to Scientology. So we'll get back to that. But just very briefly, what was your early life like? Were you born into a family of Scientologists?
No, I was not. I was baptized Lutheran, and so I had a really good foundation. I believed in God. I still do. And, I had a great childhood. I lived up at the lake in the summer. It was a wonderful childhood. And then my parents got divorced, and things went downhill from them. I got really introverted and shy, and I was born with a smaller leg, and kids would make fun of me, and I just was not doing too good after their divorce.
Well, certainly you were bullied in school, and then there was a time when you were actually assaulted as a child. Can you talk for a moment about that?
Yes, the three boys molested me, and it affected me really bad because I was afraid to tell my parents because they said they would harm my parents and myself. And so I opened up to a girlfriend, and she told her mom, and then my parents had found out, and they consoled me, and we reported it to the police. But it really affected me bad. It changed me and made me very vulnerable. And I think that is part of the reason why it was so easy to get me into Scientology at a young age.
Well, I was actually going to ask you that because you joined Scientology at the age of 13. And, the world of Scientology, and I'm going to ask you to expound on this, but it seems to me that the way that it is presented is that it's a safe haven. It's a place of protection, acceptance, and safety. Is that how it was presented to you?
Oh, most definitely. And what they do is you come in and the first thing they do is they have you take a personality test. And that test goes over your weaknesses. And when you're able to finally talk about those, they say that Scientology can help improve those. And my weaknesses, were being shy, introverted, my parents divorced, being bullied, and the molestation with the boys. All of those were my weaknesses. And I thought, there's some hope. I'm going to feel better. And you really, you talk with someone after the test, and they have a way of presenting it that this is the only answer. This is what's going to help you do better in your life and with your family. And I was vulnerable, and I decided to, I saw my mom was doing it, and my stepfather introduced my mom and I, and I thought, what do I have to lose? I was feeling so bad as it was.
And what's interesting is that they characterized being molested as your weakness, when in fact it was your strength and internal courage that allowed you to survive in whatever way you did. The divorce, the bullying, those were all things that were imposed upon you that you found a way to survive. So it's interesting they would characterize them as weaknesses.
Yes, yes.
Now, what's also
But that's,
interesting,
go ahead, sorry.
what's also interesting is that you said that your parents really weren't happy with your decision. What's also interesting is you're saying that your parents weren't happy with your decision to join, but your stepdad was a Scientologist. Why were your parents unhappy with your decision to join?
My first stepfather got my mom and I involved in Scientology. My real father was remarried with my stepmom, and they found some articles on Scientology that were critical of Scientology, and then they started to really worry about me and started to try to get me out of Scientology.
Now, what's interesting, you joined at 13. You were living with your mom and your stepdad at the time, correct?
Yes, and every other weekend with my real father and stepmom.
Okay. So, is it reasonable to assume that, I mean, 13 is a young age to make a decision about joining anything, but certainly joining a church. Is it reasonable to assume that the Scientology members spoke with your mom and stepdad, with whom they were your primary guardians, about your decision?
No, they don't even speak to your parents. They just take you in a room and without your parents. So it's very manipulating.
So
They
that they.
treat you they treat a child as an adult in a young body, which I liked. It's like, wow, someone's treating me like this. This is really, that's how come children are so vulnerable.
Right. So that was pretty cool, right? They were treating you like a grown-up.
Yeah, I really liked that. And then when I was 15, I actually got manipulated to join their staff where I worked part-time for the Church of Scientology. How they manipulated me is I got into trouble when I was 15 and actually stole some clothes and I got put in juvenile hall for a couple hours. And I came back and they made it, I mean, I felt so bad. I was already rock bottom feeling how I what I did, and then they used that and said, if you join staff, that will make you feel better. You're going to be doing something good for the world. You'll feel good about yourself. And they had me in a separate room and my mom in a separate room, and she signed a 2.5 year contract to work for the Church of Scientology, and they got me to sign a 5 year one without permission from my mom. It was a done deal. And then I told my mom, and she was livid that they did that behind her back, and I signed a 5 year. But she was also on staff and didn't want to cause problems, so we both were on staff together. And I was very young, 15 years old.
So, how can a 15-year-old sign a binding document to commit to anything?
I know. That's true. They don't really go by the laws of the land.
I gotcha. And what kind of things were you doing as you were working for the church, and were you being paid?
Very little. Maybe I made $5 a week, $10 a week,
A
and I worked
week?
probably, yeah, and I probably worked about 20, I was part-time, 24 hours a week. I was still trying to do my schooling. I did administrative type duties.
Okay.
I graded the personality test. I went door to door and handed personality tests out to people to try to get new people to come in. I did a lot of mailing, things like that. And I got smart because when I was about 15 or 16, the Sea Organization came in. They're the ones that are the elite branch of Scientology where one has to sign a billion-year contract. I know that sounds crazy, but a billion-year contract to dedicate their life to working for Scientology lifetime after lifetime. Well, they came in their military uniform, scared me to death, and they tried to recruit me. And so they would come during the early evening, and I got out of it, I think, because I said that my dad is not for Scientology, and I have to keep him kind of calmed down, so I probably wouldn't be eligible for this organization. And they backed off. But I remember that day, I was scared to death. I just had a pit in my stomach that was like, this isn't right. And I didn't hear anything negative about it. I just kind of knew that I don't want to be taken from my family and go to Florida or LA and be with people I don't know. I mean, I was a very close to my family oriented child. And I learned I can do my own hours. So I would go in late. I would work my hours like from 10 to 2 in the morning.
And wait a minute. Let's back up. First, you said
I was
something.
16, so I was driving.
You were 16?
Uh-huh.
And you were working from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. in the morning?
Yeah, my own hours were 10 to 1. Or I would just do it to avoid any recruiting. I didn't want to be there when those recruiters would come in, and they would do it when when the church was open.
What's astounding?
So they would close at 10.
It's astounding to me that they would be okay with a child working from 10 o'clock at night to 2 o'clock in the morning. That just is kind of...
Oh, yeah. It was open all hour. I mean, we would close the door at 10, but the janitor was there at night, and other people worked at night. So I wasn't there by myself.
So that was okay
yeah,
with them?
Yeah, I do my own hours. Yeah, well, I was actually happy because I stayed away from the recruiters.
Sure. Let me ask you something else. You said that you were grading personality tests?
Uh-huh.
You know, what's interesting about that is that typically, you don't call them grading, but, you know, personality tests are offered by trained clinicians, and they're the ones who review the tests and come up with the findings. But at that time, you were a 15-year-old, and you were grading the tests.
Yeah, I would just like mark, you know, where they were at and graph it, and then another person would go over it with the person. So I did the administrative type duties.
And you did say a billion as in B, billion year contract.
Yes, that's to join the Sea Org, the Sea Organization, the elite branch of Scientology.
And the Sea Organization, what is it that they actually do that makes them the elite of the organization?
Well, all members, like I say, are required to sign a billion-year contract. They live on a base that is only for the Sea Organization. And they basically, you know, I've never been in the Sea Organization, but they actually help run Scientology. They deliver the upper-level services of Scientology to the public. And they do all the expansion, the promotion. It, you know, they are the elite group. If you're in the Sea Organization, they tell you you did the best thing you could ever do because you're helping make it a better world. They call it clearing the planet. They're going to get everybody in Scientology and go to a certain level in Scientology. And if they get up to that level, which is called clear, which I did not reach, then you're a really good person. You can help others. There's no war. There's no crime in the world. And so that's the goal of being in the Sea Organization.
So,
and they get paid about $20 to $30 a week and probably that work way over 40 hours a week.
So how do these folks live? I mean, you can't live on $20 or $30 a week. Does the compound in which they're housed take care of all their expenses, clothing, medical, all of that?
Yeah, to a point, but I don't think the medical is very good. I mean, I've never been in, just my children, and they couldn't really talk about it. It's very private. So, you know, there's other people that have left that have been in the Sea Org, and they can go into it in more detail with you, but since I was never in, I can only tell you what I've heard.
There came a time when you were a member of the church yourself. Your children were members. There came a time when you were really angry and did not like the way your children were, in your words, being manipulated and approached without your permission, but it sounds like with their father's permission.
Yes, that's true. And it all started when my daughter, my oldest, turned 15. And we were up having a summer vacation with my mom It was Jeremy, my son, and my daughter, and my mom and I. And it was July 4th weekend celebrating her birthday. And we were talking about her plans. And she really liked public high school. I took her to Chico State, where I went to school and graduated. She liked it. She was talking about being a veterinarian. She loved school. She was in a public school at that time and had all her dreams ahead of her and was a happy girl. And then we got back from vacation, and her father brought her down to a event at Scientology. They call them events. And she was manipulated after a couple hours to join staff, not the Sea Org, staff like I did for a 5-year contract. So she tells me this the next day. She comes to my office and says, I need to talk to you, Mom. And I was like, because we just had a great weekend. And she was really doing great, getting A's and B's in school, wanting to be a veterinarian. Everything was really good in her life. And she tells me, so I've made a decision. And remember now, she's 15. I made a decision that I want to drop out of school and get my GED and work for Scientology full time for 5 years.
Wow.
And I was not happy with that because it was done behind my back, but they did that to me when I was little behind my mom's back.
Yeah.
So I was really angry because it happened to me. And I knew that I shouldn't have been on staff. I learned the hard way because I did it. And it affected my education. And I really struggled when I was older to try to get my degree in college. So I didn't want that for my daughter. I wanted her to stay in public school, go to college, and then make decisions this big in her life. So I said, absolutely not. And she got angry. She tried to talk me into it. I was crying. I wasn't very strong at that point. I was just very manipulated by Scientology and my ex-husband. And I tried. So I fought it for 6 months. I said, no, you're not. You're going to stay in your public school. But Dr. Brewer, Scientology has a way of manipulating your children. If the parent does not agree, or one parent does not agree with what they want to do with your children, your parental rights are violated. Let me explain. They turned my daughter against me, her and her father. She was failing in school. She wouldn't talk to me. She gave me dirty looks. Our relationship was awesome before this all happened. We were really close. We would even watch the Gilmore Girls together and go out shopping and just really great mother, daughter, good friends. Everything was super until this day. And they turned her against me. And not only that, they put me in counseling. I was already in counseling in Scientology. I don't remember what I was working on, but they took me off that. And they're asking me questions like, who is it that doesn't want your daughter to join staff? Is it your father? I mean, these are like interrogating questions. And I'm, trying to say, no, it's me. I want my daughter just to stay in school. That's all I wanted. And you can't win. So that didn't work. They couldn't break me to say yes. This went on for months. Then they had my ex, my daughter, and me, and the person where I was taking my counseling at, to go down and see it's called the chaplain. And it was at the Los Gatos Org in San Jose. It's the Los Gatos organization in San Jose where they wanted her to join staff. I sat there with a chaplain, and he helps people with family problems. And they were showing me policies, Scientology policies, that, what me saying no is the wrong thing. And I had to read policies by L. Ron Hubbard. And I still wouldn't agree. And they were just like, and then finally, I realized my daughter's not talking to me. She's failing in school. This isn't working. And I felt like I had no right as a parent. And I finally agreed for her to go back to a Scientology school, which I thought would buy me some time, maybe a couple years. I mean, she's 16 now. And I'm like, okay, well, she'll be in school for a couple years, then she'll change her mind. They graduated her in 3 months
Lori, I'm going to
with a
interrupt
vote.
you. I'm going to interrupt you. We need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to pick up right here with that, sounds like miraculous, super fast graduation.
Yes, for sure.
Folks, this is Pamela Brewer. You're listening to Mind Talk, and I'm having a conversation with Lori Hodgson, who is the author of A Mother's Heartbreak: How Scientology Destroyed My Family. We'll be right back. You were talking about the decision that you finally made to allow your daughter to go to Scientology school. Now, at that point, she was 16. Most people, they go to high school, they graduate around 17 or 18 years old. So you assumed you had a couple of years to really talk to her about her experiences and her expectations of Scientology. But she had a miracle education spurt.
Yes, to say the least. It was a non-accredited diploma, and she graduated at 16. And because I told her, when you graduate, you know, then I knew this wasn't working, me saying no. I basically lost my daughter at this point. And, you know, my ex-husband is just all for her going on staff and Scientology. With an organization like that, it's hard to win, but I tried. So she graduates and she joins staff. Before she joined, though, we went to dinner at Chili's restaurant, or it was Chevy's restaurant. And I remember that night clearly because it was just a nightmare for me. I was begging her not to join. I was saying, this isn't the right thing. This is what's going to happen. I just had a bad feeling about it. You know, I just had this sense that this is the wrong path for her. And she goes, stop crying. You're embarrassing me. I mean, she was acting like she was the mom. And I was like, oh my, I just didn't know how to deal with it. So she signed her contract, and they do have to get the parent's signature. So back when I was 15, I guess they had my mom sign it after I did. But they had the child sign it first, which should be the other way around. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had to sign it against my will, but I thought, you know, I can't fight this. I don't know what to do. And plus they kept manipulating me, what a bad mom I was, you know, and just, I was, you know, just getting really torn. So she joins her 5-year contract. She lasted 3 months. She was supposed to be local near me, living with me and going there during the day. Then they said they were going to ship her off to Florida for outer organization training at the Sea Org. But she's not in the Sea Org. She's going to get trained there, and she got homesick. And she came back. And then she decided this wasn't for her. And I told her, if you leave Scientology and break that contract, they're going to make you pay for all services that you've done. She was only in for like 3 months, and she accumulated a $13,000 debt to Scientology.
Oh, my goodness.
At 16.
So technically, and that debt is not enforceable. At least against her, right?
It's not, but everything is enforceable if you want to stay in good standing with Scientology.
I see. Let me ask you a question. You're referring to it as manipulation. It sounds like brainwashing. It sounds like and over again, what they do is they brainwash.
So. It is very much brainwashing. So she has this $13,000 debt that I find out about. So I'm upset again. It just keeps accumulating with my children. It gets a lot worse. This is just the beginning. So after a few days, she said to my mother, that they're going to make a deal. If I can come up with half the money, then in the next 3 days, then I will be back in good standing with Scientology. I can take classes again. So my mom loaned her the money, and to pay off the debt to Scientology, and she also had to do like 100 hours of amends and work for the church, clean bathrooms or whatever, because she wanted to leave. And she had to do conditions. There are Scientology conditions that a person does to go into a better condition. And so she was at the bottom because she left Scientology. So she had to work up to the state of normal. I know that's really confusing. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. So that's what happened with my daughter. I got her to go back to college. She had her GED. She went to junior college. She took preschool classes, and I was working at a preschool. And then she decided to, you know, work at a preschool herself. So she was back doing really well. In the meantime, my son's like 13 watching all this. And he said, Mom, I'll never do that. I'll never do that to you. And he's in school. He's doing great. She's working at the preschool. Everything's pretty good right now. Until Jeremy turns 15.
And at that point, were you still a member of Scientology?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
If I wasn't, I would have lost my kid.
I gotcha. So 15 seems to be the magic age.
I'm still going along with the flow.
Okay.
15 for my kids, yes. For my kids, they were both recruited at 15. But Jeremy's is a lot worse. Do you want me to go into that briefly?
Briefly, yes.
I just had a really painful knee replacement. Jeremy's 15. It's November. And I was home about a week. And I had a bad feeling on a Friday night. My son was over at his dad's for the weekend. And I just had a worried feeling about my son. I didn't know where it was coming from. I was on painkillers, and I couldn't walk. And my knee was really bad. And I couldn't sleep barely. I was doing pretty bad. And so that was Friday night. I had that feeling. Well, he comes over on Sunday morning. Same thing. Mom, I want to talk to you. And I'm like, uh-oh. You know, I've heard that before.
Right.
But here, I'm not in a good state. I mean, I'm really bad. They put too big of a knee replacement in my knee. We didn't know it at the time, but I couldn't walk. And I was in bed on Percocet and on an ice machine. And I was laying there, and he right away he goes, so I want to join the C organization. That's worse than 5 years on staff. This is dedicating a billion years of his life to Scientology when he wasn't even taking classes at that time. My kids went to a Scientology school, but they didn't take classes at night. We would do all kinds of other things, snow ski, go to the lake. I kept my kids really well-rounded. I always encouraged them to have friends that weren't Scientologists. So this came out of the blue. And I went, what? He goes, yeah, and I want to leave in a couple days. And this is my purpose in life, Mom. I want to save the world. I'm doing this for you. The world could blow up in a couple of days. And I need help now. Do you understand? And this is something I've always wanted to do. This is the first time I've ever heard you tell me this, Jeremy. After one event on a Friday night, that's where he went. And they recruited him for the Sea Org.
You know,
and
what,
I lost it.
It's just amazing.
I was so upset. I just was hysterical.
You know, there's so many questions. I mean, I almost feel like we need to talk for 25 hours. Of course, we can't do that.
I know. I know. And I got to be brief. And
but
so
let me...
I said, no, my husband saw this. He comes back that night, tries again. I'm doing really bad at this point. Can't sleep. Worried about them taking my son. I'm still saying no. I'm writing it up to the top person in Scientology that I knew to talk to, saying, you are violating my parental rights. I'm starting to use the legal... my rights and saying, you need to stop. So they didn't back off. I ended up going in the hospital with pneumonia because I couldn't sleep. I had an ovarian cyst rupture. It was a nightmare. And then my friend told me to get a doctor's letter. And I sent that to the Sea Org recruiters and she gave that to them and said, you need to back off for 3 months, my doctor said, so that Lori can heal. She's not healing because of this upset. I couldn't tell my doctor, though, the real truth. You're not allowed to talk critical of Scientology, even if it's your own family, to anybody, even your doctor, except who is the proper person in Scientology, which I did. So as time goes by, he decides he's not going to go, and I was so happy. And they were, and then they were recruiting them again behind my back. Then I was getting ready to go into surgery for my second knee replacement. My daughter's still at her preschool. She has a Scientology boyfriend, and then he starts it up again. And he starts just heavily going into, you know, why he should join. And it didn't even sound like him. And I'd say no, he'd get on the phone, he'd come back. Finally, I realized I can't say no because I'm going to lose my son to disconnection, which means if I don't agree, they're going to make me look so bad, I'll leave the church, and then I'll lose my son anyway. So I agreed with circumstances that they promised he would have a full education, I mean a proper education, and he would have his medical, and he would have his, you know, all the things a mom wants for their child.
Right.
To come home on the holidays, to be able to call my son. They broke every promise. So Jeremy's there 7 months. The first month he was there, my daughter, I was in the hospital on day two of my knee surgery, the second one, and she comes in. She got manipulated again and tells me she's leaving for the C organization in 2 days and she's going to get married. Well, I went into shock the next day. I had to have a blood transfusion. Basically, it was very critical. My dad had to get the medical response team. So, you know, two times now in the hospital, they used that to recruit my kids when I was at my rock bottom. You don't do that. What church does that?
Well, I'm glad you asked the question in that way, because as you talk about the church, the Scientology church, in A Mother's Heartbreak, you actually question the usage of the term church. If you had to identify what you would say about Scientology, you wouldn't call it a church. What would you call it?
A mind manipulating money organization.
Wow.
They want your money.
Sounds like a cult.
And they mind manipulate you. And it's, yes, I would definitely call it a cult now. I've never said that before because I know that my kids wouldn't like to hear that. But you know what? It is a cult. And, you know, when I was in it and I saw how I got manipulated, and it's just wrong. It's not a church. They call it a church for tax exempt purposes only.
I see.
And they don't teach, they never taught me about God. I never did the upper levels of Scientology. So maybe somewhere up there, and thankfully, I'm happy I didn't do those. But
well, wait a
I
minute.
Never
let
learned
me,
about God.
Let me ask you this. I mean, you were going to these classes. Are you telling me that these classes did not include religious study?
In a way, because they dealt with the spirit.
Okay.
You know, that there is a, you know, that it's your body, it's your spirit, and different things like that. But it was more self-help. And how to have your own person be more able to have a better life with your family, others, people.
And this idea of a better life, there came a time when you decided to withdraw from the Scientology organization. So what did that mean for the Scientologist perspective of your better life? Could you have one given that you withdrew?
Not if you're a Scientologist. In fact, my son said, I resigned from Scientology. I didn't get kicked out. I, on my own will, decided to resign with my mom. So my son said,
why do
you
make
your life?
Lori, let me interrupt you. You make the distinction that you withdrew, you were not kicked out. Why is that an important distinction?
A lot of people don't resign. They kind of go under the radar, meaning that they're looking at both sides, which you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to read anything critical in Scientology if you're a Scientologist. Anything. In the media, you can't hear it from another person. You're very brainwashed not to do that. So a lot of people aren't happy. I even have people that are still in that aren't happy. But they don't want to get kicked out. You will get kicked out in Scientology if you're caught looking, you know, on your social media of anything critical. you're reading critical books of Scientology. You know, basically you're doing other practices like seeing a psychiatrist, psychologist. You can't do that in Scientology. You get kicked out. If you get kicked out of Scientology, then the only way to get back in good standing is you have to do these steps that are really long, and I explain those in my book. And so my mom and I couldn't do that. It was so bad that Jeremy, he slipped and told his grandma that when he was in the Sea Organization, he did leave after 7 months because he didn't like it. But before he left, they threatened him and made him sign a $3 million gag order.
What?
To silence him. $3 million. He's 16. Behind my back. I never knew about this contract, never had a copy or nothing. Yeah, that was my reaction. What? So he slips and tells his grandma, because she keeps saying, what happened in the Sea Org? Because when he came back, he seemed different.
Okay.
He just didn't seem like a young boy anymore, you know? He seemed like an adult that was just, he just seemed odd. And so my mom's trying to figure out what happened. And he says, I can't talk about it. I had to sign a $3 million contract with Scientology, and I will have to pay them that, and I'll get kicked out of Scientology and not be able to do it anymore. So my mom told me that we were done. We weren't going to just be under the radar. Mm-hmm. We were going to resign.
Okay.
So we wrote our official letter, and we resigned from the Church of Scientology. I brought my kids in and told them. And all I said was, I don't want to do it anymore. I knew better. I couldn't tell them they couldn't do it. You know, they're, 17 and 20 at that time.
Okay, yeah.
And I just said, I don't want to do it. It's fine that you do it. Well, a week later, I was threatened with disconnection by my ex-husband, meaning that he told my kids, if you do not disconnect, which means never talk to me again, if you don't disconnect from your mom, then I'm going to disconnect from you because no one's going to take my eternity away from me. Scientologists believe it's their eternity, it's their salvation. It's the only way. The only answer in life is to be in Scientology. And my kids were threatened with that, and that's when it all started. Now, I did not speak out in the media. All I did was resign to the proper people in Scientology and tell my kids I didn't want to do it. That's all I did. And 1 week later, I'm threatened with losing my kids. And then it goes downhill from there.
I was going to say, I mean, as you talk about it in A Mother's Heartbreak, time after time after time, you tried to connect with your children and you were thwarted at so many different turns. There was a time when I think it was an uncle of your son's, and he was you were concerned that he might be followed, that he might be monitored. And in fact, that is something that happened. We're going to take a break in a moment, but just before the break, I want to clarify, was it an uncle and was he monitored?
My uncle lived in Texas, and he just went to see my son at the dirt bike shop to let me know how he was doing. But I've been monitored. I mean, I have been tracked a lot and monitored. And you might be thinking of the Inside Edition when I did have a monitor on, and we did that to prevent from them tracking me. But
all right, we're going to take a break, Lori. And when we come back, we will pick up with this notion of, it sounds like, not being free in the land that is supposed to be of the free. We'll be right back.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Lori, as you know, we've certainly heard, in certainly in the media, these stories about people being threatened, people being watched, conversations being listened to. And, on some levels, it just sounds like, well, that can't possibly be true. Who's going to do that? But from your experience, the Scientologists did that.
Yes, and back to that point about the uncle, you were right, but it's not my uncle, it was Jeremy's uncle.
Okay.
And I know my book has a lot of parts because it's, past 30 years briefly, right? You're right with the uncle, and he did get monitored, so let me explain. Jeremy left the Sea Org, and he had to pay them $3 million if he spoke out about anything that happened in the Sea Org, which was not a legal binding agreement, as we know. But Jeremy did not know that at 16. His uncle was in the Sea organization, my ex's half brother, Bob Wright, and he worked closely under the leader, David Miscavige. He was in charge of all the, he was the international landlord in charge of all the organizations around the world. Well, he left shortly after Jeremy, and I had heard, and so I was talking to my sister-in-law at that time before she was forced to disconnect from me. My ex never told the family on that side that he made and the church made them disconnect from me. So I called her and told her what was happening, and she was livid. And she was like, "What? How could this be? I want to help you get your family back together." She was helping. And I called her and said, "Guess what? Your half brother left Scientology. This is great. Maybe he'll speak out and say what happened." Well, I heard, I don't have facts, but I heard he was paid off. So either you're threatened with silence with a gag order, or you get paid off a lot of money to be silent. It works one way or the other.
Okay.
He got paid off, and I said, and he was coming to visit her. He was Jeremy's uncle, and I said, "This is what you look out for to know whether he's monitored or not. Because if he was paid off, he knows something big. And I think it's connected with my son, why he was threatened with the $3 million gag contract." And I told her, "This is what you look for. Does he get phone calls all the time when you're trying to talk to him and he has to leave the room? Also, look out your window and see if you see any black tinted window cars, SUVs or whatever. They'll be nearby." And she goes, "What? This nuts." I go, "Just let me know what happens." She calls me up after Bob leaves, because he had left the Sea organization after many years, like over 20 years.
That's
And
interesting.
she said, "You're right. He got called. He had to leave the room, and there was a black car outside our locked gate for the whole all the time he was there, and he did not come in that car." Now, what do you think of that?
You know, it just almost it sounds unbelievable, but yet this is your
I know, but she
life.
believed it. She witnessed it.
Right? That's
Yeah.
why I say it. It sounds unbelievable, except that it's true.
It's true, and it happens to me all the time. I mean, you look at what happened to me in the beginning. I get threatened in my work parking lot with, "Do you enjoy beatings?" by a Scientologist. I'm all, "What?" That's the first time I went to the police. I'm all, "This is nuts. What are they doing?" And so then they follow me to Texas across state lines. The two people that were there were the ones who brainwashed my children, helped in the matter to have them disconnect from me. They're following me across state lines. They're there for the whole time I'm there. They follow me with black cars. I go to a restaurant with my friends. They're there. They don't physically hurt you. They mentally try to damage you so that you think you're either going nuts or that you need to go back to Scientology because that's the only thing that's going to save you. And you know what, Pamela? I am so happy I left Scientology because I'm free now. I am really free to do what I want, what I think's right. I don't have to get approval by Scientology. I mean, I can live my life. My kids aren't allowed to live their life. They have to, it all has to be okayed by Scientology. They can't talk to anybody who's critical of Scientology. It's really sad. And I look back and I am happy I resigned. I just wish that my children would have seen the truth, even though they experienced all this. I don't know what's happening and how brainwashed they got, but one day I know they will have their breaking point. I did, my mom did, others do, and we all do. And my kids will have theirs. And that's all I can pray for and hope that that happens so that they're free, because It's not a fun life to live, and I'm sure they're monitored like crazy and they don't know it.
Do you believe that you're being monitored even today? You're out of the program, but you're talking about it, and you're not supposed to talk about Scientology.
I can because I've left.
Are they monitoring you, do you think?
I mean, that's why I'm so such a bad person, according to Scientology, is because I spoke out.
Okay.
You can't speak out to the media, to your family, to friends, anybody, anything that you're not happy with Scientology about. But I had to, because I don't want, this is my purpose, is I wrote my book because, for number one, I don't want any other family to ever go through my heartache. So I want to educate. I want to educate families. What happens when their child turns a certain age and they want their kids to join Scientology, whether it's staff or Sea Org, and that parent says no, this is what happens. And I think it's important. And you know what? I'm hearing from people all around the world about my book that I've helped, that they're going to take it to their judge because they're going through a bad divorce. I mean, that makes me feel like I did what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel so fulfilled that I'm helping other families. This is like, and I know if my kids read my book and go away from what Scientology tells them, not to read it, not to do this, not to that, if they read it, I know that they'll have a breaking point because they're going to see what happened. Because you know, I can't write this kind of book with any life. They'd be after me in a minute.
Well, let me
It's all true.
which makes it so sad and so frightening. I want to go back to something that you talked about earlier, and you talk about it in the book as well. You said that you can't go outside of the organization for anything. You can't go to law enforcement, you can't go to attorneys, you can't go to child services, you can't see a therapist, none of that. Do you think your children are being, I know you believe that your children are being emotionally abused, psychologically abused. Do you think they're being physically and sexually abused as well?
I do not,
Okay.
but I know other cases. I know other cases that I've listened to their stories, and they were in the Sea organization. I do not. My children are not in the Sea organization anymore. My daughter lasted a month or two. My son 7 months. They're public Scientologists now, so they left in good standing, even though they were threatened not to say anything. One of them, but they're in good standing. They're probably not in the best of good standing because I'm so noisy.
Right.
Because I want them to wake up. I want them to see the truth. I can't make them change their mind though.
Right.
They're adults now, and you know, I'm actually doing better in the last couple of weeks. I really can see they're adults. Jeremy's 25. Jessica's going to be 28, and
Yeah.
their mom. I can't make them change their mind. They have to. It's a life lesson. They're going to have to go through it, and they're going to finally have to open their eyes and see what happened to them. Start maybe looking at other people, that it's not just their family. There's thousands. And I think then they'll have their breaking point. But until then, I don't see us having a relationship. I have no blockages there. I'm open. They can visit me, call me. They are blocked. They're not allowed to call me. I can't reach them on. I can't even go see my kids in Texas without PIs following me, private investigators following me, and warning my kids not to talk to me. I mean, that's insane that I can't even
Yeah.
talk to them, even with a third party. I tried. Just recently, last summer, I tried to work with Scientology. They're called the International Justice Chief, the only person who, if you leave Scientology, that's the only person you can talk to. And I tried. And they won't work with me. They said I have to do the steps of Scientology to be able to talk to my kids, which means I have to be a Scientologist again. I have to say I've lied about everything that I'm telling the truth. I have to redo everything in Scientology, all my services, counseling, and do many hours of amends to get back in good standing because I spoke the truth about what they did to my kids. For the love of my children, I can't do that. I can't go back into this organization. I don't believe in it anymore. I think it's a cult. I don't think it's a good thing. Now, my kids, if they really love it and want to do it, then I would be their mom and I wouldn't bash it. But Scientology won't even let me do that. They won't even let me do that. So.
Talk about, you've been on many radio programs, television programs. Talk about your experience with 2020 and the Inside Edition, both very well-known television programs.
With Inside Edition, the manager, the producer of Inside Edition, took a liking to me and was very compassionate. And we were just going to do an interview at my San Jose house, where I lived at that time in my son's room. Then he said, "How would you like the chance to be able to see your son?" I go, "We can't. They track my flights. They tell the kids. I can't even get near my kids." He says, "We can get you there." I'm like, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, and they'll stay away from us because we have a film crew." So I was like, "I don't think so." I turned it down and I thought about it and I go, "You know what? What do I have to lose? I can't talk to my kids. I can't go see my kids. Might as well give this a shot." So we did. I was able to get to Texas without Scientology finding out because they had a way. We had a whole film crew. I met him at his work. He saw the cameras and thought it was Dr. Phil. He doesn't know. He doesn't watch TV. He just heard, Dr. Phil's been, the Dr. Phil show is trying to get me on at this time, like four or five times, and they always call the kids. So he said, "No camera." So they backed off. We had a 3-hour great conversation, my son and I. He admitted to signing that $3 million gag contract. And then he said, "Are you monitored, Mom? Do you have a tape recorder?" I said, "Yeah, I forgot about it." And he just went livid. He was so upset that I recorded him, and he went and called his dad, and it was all over. Our good conversation went down the hill, and I tried to explain to him, "The only reason I have this on is to keep Scientology away, because I get followed, I get harassed, the Scrollbusters, all of that craziness." I tried to tell my son, and I go, "It did keep them away. We were having a conversation, right? I'm not using this tape. I just want to keep them away and be with you," which is working. And so anyway, that he's still upset about that to the today, I mean, right now. So that was Inside Edition. 2020 happened 2 years ago. I got invited there with a panel of other former Scientologists, big names like Karen DeLaCaria. She's left, and her—that's another story. It's very sad. I was there with about 12 other people, I think. And they shared my story. I mean, I shared my story, and they only chose my story to air, along with David Miscavige's father, Ron Miscavige, who left Scientology,
That's
wrote a book,
interesting.
and he escaped. So I'm on 2020, and watching it, and they only shared a little small portion. So my friends in Colorado, and I didn't know this. 2020 did not let me know this, but Nightline comes on an hour later, and she calls me and says, "Your kids are on television." I go, "What? I just watched 2020. They weren't on." She says, "They're on Nightline." And I waited up and I saw my kids.
Wow.
So Scientology made my kids do videos. And my daughter, her whole thing was that my mom has a vendetta more about Scientology than loving her,
Wow.
than being her mom. Which, I don't even think I would even speak out or do anything if they didn't take my kids from me. I mean, that's why I'm speaking out. They took my kids from me. So my daughter's upset that I'm going to the media. My son is upset because of what happened with Inside Edition. And he also said I'm lying. And he said that, if she goes to the media, why can't she just talk to us? I mean, Pamela, look how many times I'm trying to
I was
talk to
going to
my
say
kids.
that's kind of a twisted response.
Yeah, and if you watch my kids, they look like they're reading a script and they don't look happy. I mean, and I would love to just talk to my kids without the media. I can't. So I use the media because they're helping me. And hopefully my kids will see it on the media of how hard I'm fighting. So that happened 2 years ago, and I got really depressed because it was all lies. I love my daughter. I'm trying to talk to you, son. I was like, I broke down for 1.5 years and I stopped writing my book. And then I tried to work with Scientology this last summer and that didn't work. And then I decided I need to write my book because being quiet isn't working. That's not helping me get my kids back. Scientology won't work with me. I've tried about everything you can think of.
Yeah, it I
So
mean
I finished my book.
you go through so much in your book. I mean, it's clear that you talk to everyone, people known and unknown, to just to try to see your children.
Yeah, I even have friends write them. I send them postcards and send them letters. They have so much pre so many presents over the last 8 years, probably could fill their garage up. Now, do I even know they keep them? Does Scientology have them? I have no idea. But I keep sending them loving cards. I love you. I miss you. I'm here for you. If you want to do Scientology, that's fine. I can clearly see that doesn't work. Scientology is not going to allow that. They have to have their breaking point, and then they'll call me up, and I'm here. But the interesting thing is on April 2nd, my book went out on Kindle. My book was just released in May, but the Kindle version was April 2nd. That night, Scientology put the full video of my kids on their site. And they attack all critics, Leah Remini, Mike Render. They make up lies, they put all these crazy videos on. But my kids, they don't want to be in the media. And Scientology does this to them. They're number one. Ahead of Leah Remini and Mike Render's videos are my kids. If you go to this site, which I'm not going to advertise because it's just promoting Scientology and
Yeah.
their awful videos, but if you go to it, my kids are right there at the top. They've been there since April 2nd. I think my kids are going to hate that.
I would suspect so, particularly since no one's supposed to talk
Yeah.
to the video. I mean, no one is supposed to talk to the media.
Yeah. So if I do. I've been doing a lot of radio shows, getting a book in several bookstores, and if any other, if any big places like Ellen DeGeneres, Dr. Phil, if they need anything, they have something now, which they always want the other side. So like 2020 or Inside Edition, and it was aired on not Inside Edition, Nightline and Good Morning America. They aired the kids' video because Scientology will let them usually air my story if they can air their site. So
Absolutely.
it's just it's crazy, and I just have hope, and I pray that my kids will have their breaking point, and I'll have them back in their life. But in the meantime, I'm going to educate. I'm doing this full time everywhere I can,
Good for you.
and I don't make any money. I have to sell 3,000 books to break even, but I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it to educate people what Scientology does and how they break up families. That's what my purpose is.
Lori Hodgson, author of A Mother's Heartbreak, How Scientology Destroyed My Family. Thank you so much for joining us today. Certainly wish you well in your fight, which of course no parent should ever have to do, to have a relationship with your children. Thank you, Lori, for joining us.
Thanks so much, Dr. Brewer.
And folks, thank you for joining us on this edition of Mind Talk. Mind Talk is brought to you daily as an educational public service. You can listen on demand at mindtalk.org. That's MYNDTALK.org. You can also download the Mind Talk app from your iTunes or Google Play Store. Mind Talk is produced by Jim Brown and 26 by 2 Communications. If you have any questions or comments about this program, today's program, or any program, do send an email to me at Pamela, Pamela, at mindtalk.org. Again, that's MYNDTALK dot org. And please remember always, if it's unacceptable, then it's unacceptable. You take care.